Amen. Who's ready for the message and the word of the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're together in church, as I've prayed already. But Lord, we thank you for your presence. We just thank you that you are here with us. Lord, as we lift up your mighty name, you are here with us. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters today. I pray the blessing of Almighty God upon people here. Lord, there's people here today, Lord, who are in dire straits, some are carrying heavy burdens. But we thank you today, Lord, that, Lord, you see them and you know all about it, and that you are the God. You're the great burden bearer. And Lord, we pray, Lord, as we go through this message today, that you will bless and encourage. Pray, Lord, for people, Lord, who have bondage upon their life, addictions, Lord, and things, Lord, that tie them down. We pray for breakthrough for them today in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord, for people who are unwell. Pray for people who are sick. There is a lot of sickness around, but we thank you that there's healing in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, as we just progress through the message, we pray this. Lord, this is not a TED talk. This is not a motivational talk. Lord, this is a word of God that we're going to have today that sets people free. And Father, we pray life will flow through Real Life Church. We pray today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted, amen. Let's read the scriptures, and we'll have them on the screen right now. We're going to be reading one of the most, well, I think is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. It's written in a tiny little book called the Philippians. I always say Philippines, don't I? I would like to see a Filipino connect group here at Real Life Church. I think some of you know I've spoken to you about this. There's room for a Filipino connect group. Just saying. But I'm reading from the book of Philippians. I'm not putting it on. I'm really struggling. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. It says this. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, that's an important statement. And if you understand this message today, it's really important that you understand there's only one God, but with expressing himself through three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let's start again. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God have elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Now today is Name Tag Sunday. And hopefully the name tags will help us to remember each other's names. Some of you are really good at remembering other people's names. Some of you struggle to remember your own. So the name tags hopefully will help us all. But out of curiosity, I wonder who has the longest first name here today at Real Life Church. So let's just do a little survey. Would you just play along with me? Is that okay? I'd like everybody to look at your name badge. I don't care about your surname, your first name. Count how many letters are in your first name. Don't shout it out. Don't shout it out. So all of those who have seven letters in their first name or more, could you stand to your feet? Okay, quite a few. Okay, stay standing. Now we're going to make it a bit harder. We're going to lift the bar now from seven to eight. So if you've got under eight, you need to sit down. Okay, that shrunk it right down. Okay. If you've got nine and over, stay standing. Okay, here we go. If you've got 10 and over, stay standing. Okay, in a big loud voice, what's your name?
Christopher.
Christopher, and how many letters does that have?
12.
12, okay, you're the winner. Very good, Chris. Christopher. Did you know that the longest name in the Bible is Malahala Shazbaz? Should be there on the screen. It actually has 18 letters, and Malahala Shazbaz was the son of the prophet Isaiah, and there's a whole story as to how he got that name. Aren't you glad you're not called Malahala Shazbaz? Actually, can you say it with me? Here we go. Malahala Shazbaz. Yeah, there you go. It's a long name, isn't it? A person's name is important because your name's important. A person's name's important because their name helps to identify who they are. And then as you journey through life, you know, as you get older, our name also comes to represent your reputation. Do you have a good name or a bad name? Comes to represent your reputation or your character, your personality. It can represent your achievements, good or bad. It can also represent your social position and your skills or abilities that you have. In addition to our birth names, we may end up with titles and labels as well being given to us. And these titles or labels then define a group that we belong to or a role that we play or a relationship that we fulfill. For instance, mate, you're my mate. That becomes a label, doesn't it? Hey, don't know his name, but he's my mate. But when you're at work, he's my colleague. She's my colleague. Friend's another label. Yeah. You know, not everybody's your friend. It's a special label. Beth one is my friend. She's also my colleague. She's also the cousin of my wife. Different labels. If you're a parent, your children... I just had to slip that in. Amen. So that's my son, Benjamin, for those who are new to Real Life Church. Actually, we could just talk about these guys for a while. So that's Benjamin. So I have two sons. Rochelle and I have two sons. One lives in Melbourne. That's Benjamin, who's married to Cherie. And they're our grandchildren. The boy in the school uniform at the bottom there, that's Luca. And the little one in the arms of Benjamin, that's Hudson. And so... Cherie's dad is here as well, and that's, most of you know that, that's Ian. Ian and Jesse, why don't you stand to your feet? Just, yeah. So we share the grandchildren. Thank you. But if you are a parent, your children will call you dad or mum. If you're in the royal family, you call your mum, mummy. And so we call our parents mum or dad. And it doesn't matter how old you are. So I'm nearly 63, but I don't refer to my dad as John Warwick, except in a formal setting. He's still, to me, he's dad. Yeah. He's dad. And, you know, it feels strange calling your parents by their birth name, doesn't it? He's dad, mum. My grandchildren, who are the most handsomest children you've ever seen in the world, I know you all think they should be modeling or something, children, but... My grandchildren call me Pop Pop. They call Rochelle Gaga. Not Lady Gaga, just Gaga. So they call me Pop Pop, but they call Ian Poppy to have the distinguishing thing. And they call Jess Nanny. And so the extra labels that are added to us as we progress through life. And, of course, those labels that I've shared with you are about relationship, and you and your family have similar sorts of things. And they're really important. They're really important. Regarding labels, it's interesting to note that in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, it was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. Did you know that Jesus never called his followers Christians? Not at all. Jesus called his followers disciples. The word Christian was a derogatory label given by non-believers to the followers of Jesus Christ. It was actually meant to be an insult. And that label Christian has stuck with us for the last 2,000 years. Amen. Now, not only do we give names and labels to each other, but we give names and labels to everything around us. When you think about it, in fact, just look around this room right now. Just everyone, just take a look around this room. Just look around this room. There is nothing in this room that doesn't have a name. Everything in this room has a name. Everything in your home has a name. Because we simply can't function without everything having a name. And if we don't know what the name of an object is, or if we've forgotten the name, does that happen to anybody? We've forgotten the name, or we don't know what its real name is, we simply call it a thingy. You know, the thingy, or the thingy-majig, or whatever. You know, the thingy. Everything has a name. And God is the original name giver. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the world around us by using, listen, He created the world by using names. God was the first person to call light, 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 light. He commanded, let there be light. He used a name, a label. He said, let there be light, and instantly light appeared. He said the name light before there was light. He said light before there was light. God used the name to create what He was creating. Romans 4:17 says this, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Wow. God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God uses names to create things that do not exist. Isaiah 40:26 says this, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? God brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of His great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Do you know how many stars there are in the universe? Nobody knows, but it's trillions and trillions. With the naked eye, on a clear night, away from the city, you probably could count up to 6,000 stars with the naked eye. But with the benefit of telescopes, and particularly the James Webb telescope of late, it's discovering galaxy, 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 after all, filled with billions of stars, these trillions of stars throughout the universe. And God has a name for every single one of them. Nothing in the universe exists without a name. Even the angels have names. Gabriel, Michael. God's made it that way. Then after making the stars, and what day were the stars made on in creation week? Does anybody know? Day 4. The sun wasn't created until day 4. God made light without the sun. And when we're in eternity, there will be light, but there will be no more sun again. Very important to remember that. So day 4, God made the stars, but then later, God made Adam and Eve. What day did He make Adam and Eve? On day 6, absolutely. And what did God do on day 7? He rested, yeah. So on day 6, God made Adam and Eve in His own image and in His own likeness. And with that likeness, God gave Adam and Eve the ability of naming. It gave to humanity the ability to name. And so we see that on the 6th day of creation, the Bible says this. The Bible verse on the screen says, so the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man, to Adam, to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. So we can see that Adam had a very minor role to play on creation day 6 by being given the privilege of naming the animals. By the way, he also named his wife Eve. Just out of curiosity, could all the Adams in this room stand to their feet right now? We've got Adam down the back and Adam here. Where's the other Adam? Where is he? There he is, yeah. First time, isn't it? I've never been in church before. Let's have three Adams. Amen. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Adam. So names are really important. And your name is important, even if you don't like your name. Your name is important because you're important. And your name represents you. You give your name value. And your name was probably given to you by your parents. And even though there's like somewhere between 8 to billion people on planet Earth today, even though so there's lots of people on the earth, God knows your name.
Yes.
He knows you.
Yeah.
He sees you.
Yes.
In Isaiah 49:16, it says, see, God says this, see, I've written your name on the palms of my hands. So God knows your name. However, we see in the Bible that God also has lots of other names and labels to give to you and to all the followers of Jesus Christ. And when God gives a name or a label, it's backed by God's creative power and authority. Remember, God calls things that are not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they were. So, for example, the great Bible character named Abraham and his wife Sarai were not able to have a child. We read about them in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Nonetheless, God promised Abraham a child in his old age. God also promised Abraham that his descendants would be many and that they would be blessed. But when God gave the promise to Abraham and Sarai that they would have a baby, it sounded truly ridiculous. And it was ridiculous because according to nature, they couldn't have a child. Abraham and Sarai were well beyond childbearing days. They never had a child, and now that we're way too old. And it was simply impossible for them to have a baby. It could not happen. So God changed their names. And God called Abraham Abraham. And Sarah he called Sarah. Abraham means father of many nations. Now remember who gave Abraham his name, Abraham. And Sarah means absolute princess. Sarai means princess. Sarah means absolute princess. So they had the name change. And that means every day after that name change, this old couple started speaking their new God-given names over each other. Hey, Abraham. And he'd go, father of many nations. And he'd go, what do you want? Sarah. She'd go, absolute princess. I don't know how they believed. Probably not like that. But you know, soon everyone was calling Abraham, Abraham, father of many nations. His servants would come in and say, Abraham, oh no, his name's changed. Abraham, 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 father of many nations, father of many nations, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And the book of Romans tells us that Abraham's faith grew stronger and he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises, even if man says it's impossible. And God's creative power worked in this couple. And Sarah gave birth to Isaac in fulfillment of God's promise. And Isaac is a great name that means laughter. God had the last laugh. Amen. Because all things are possible with the Lord. Began with the name change. God's names and labels carry creative power. There's another example of the power of God's names and labels. In Judges chapter 6, we read how a young man named Gideon was called by God to raise up an army to fight the Midianites who were raiding the land of Israel and stealing all the food. And it was really bad. People were starving. It really was a bad situation. And so God sent his angel to Gideon with a message from God. But Gideon was a timid and fearful young man. And so the first thing the angel said to Gideon was this: the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That's the first thing he said. But the thing is, Gideon was not a mighty warrior. Gideon was a chicken. He was afraid. And he had good reason to be afraid. He was the last person that God should have chosen to lead an army. But we know from the Bible that God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the strong. So God, through the angel, called Gideon a mighty warrior before Gideon became a mighty warrior. Is somebody listening today? He can pick up what I'm saying? Because God calls things that are not as though they were. And Gideon became a mighty warrior in fulfillment of God's label, his new name, upon his life. And Gideon did destroy the Midianites by the power of God. When God gives you a new name, it is backed by his authority and his creative power. So I just want to give you a tiny sampling of the new names and new labels that we find in the scriptures for the people of God. These names are given to us, to you, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Are you ready, everybody? Just on the screen. You are a new creation. You are a new creation. You are righteous, healed, redeemed, blessed. You're the light of the world. You're an ambassador for Christ. You are free from condemnation. You are more than a conqueror. You are joined here with Christ. You are a child of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are saved. You are righteous. You are the workmanship of Almighty God. Amen. See, brothers and sisters, it's good and right and proper to park yourself under the new names that God has for you in his word. And then you let those names feed your faith. You speak God's new names like Abraham. You speak God's new names for you over your life like Abraham and Sarah did to one another. God also uses over 900 names in the Bible in order to describe himself. I think the exact number is 967, but somebody interrupted me while I was counting them. That was a joke. He's got over 900 names in the Bible to describe himself to us so that we can know him and understand him better. If you want to know God, and I pray that you all do in this room, then spend time exploring the names of God. Here are some of the names of God. So we looked at our names. Park yourself under those names. But now let's look at the names of Almighty God. God is Abba Father. He is Lord. He is Almighty God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the All-Sufficient One, the Ancient of Days. He's the Atoning Sacrifice for our sins. He is the Anointed One. He is the Author of Life. He's the Author of Eternal Salvation, the Author and Finisher of our faith, the Blessed Hope, the Branch, the Door, the Vine, the Good Shepherd, the Blessed Hope, the Rose of Sharon, the Bread of God. He is the bright morning star, the chief cornerstone, the comforter, the consuming fire, the creator, the deliverer, the everlasting God. He's faithful and true. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a Father of mercies, a Father to the fatherless. Our God is a fountain of living waters. He's a fearsome one. He is God, my rock, the God of heaven, the God of hope, the God who cannot lie. He is a God who works wonders. He is God, the judge of all. He is the head of the church. He is the great I am, the one who formed you from the womb. He's the one that is able to keep you from falling. He is the high priest of good things to come. He is the indescribable gift. Our God is the one who searches minds and hearts. He is Emmanuel. He is friend of sinners. He is a prince of peace, mighty God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is a king of kings and he is a Lord of lords. He is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Ra, which means the Lord our shepherd. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is here. These are wonderful and glorious names of our Almighty God. Amen. Amen. But there is one name that is above all other names. Amen. Amen. And the owner of this mighty name did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is a name above all names. The names of God find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the Lord our provider. Jesus is the Lord our healer. Jesus is the Lord our banner. Jesus is the Lord our peace. Jesus is the Lord our shepherd. Jesus is the Lord our righteousness, and Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, because Jesus Christ is ever present in your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord! Now, the devil also uses names and labels, and we're all familiar with his names and labels. I've just chosen just a handful: despair, loser, worry, fear, addiction. Now, there's a terrible name. Discontentment, that's a bad one too. Sickness, weakness. These are labels, names. Failure, hopelessness, and shame. And all around our society, in the community, wherever you go, there's people with these labels in their heads, in their hearts. They're doing life. You might work with people like this, but they've got one of these labels of the devil upon their life. You know, they might be Bill or Bob or Mary, but they may have, you might not even know, but they've got the label of despair in their heart, and it's ripping their soul out. You don't know what's going on in their lives. You know, they could have sickness, weakness, failure. Everybody's got a story. And even as Christians, you know, we can have some of these labels from the devil too. And the devil uses his labels, he uses his names to kill and destroy people and to destroy their families.
Yeah.
The devil doesn't want to build anybody up. The devil doesn't come along and say, oh, I've got a name for you to build you up. No, his names pull you down and destroy you. You know, people see themselves through their names.
Yeah.
Loser. You know, somebody says it to them, and then the devil just drives it home, and they go through life just think, oh, this is never going to work out. It never works out for me. They've got that name, that label.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
But God.
Yes.
It's not the end of the story. But God has given Jesus Christ the name above all other names. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, including those labels of the devil, of despair, failure, sickness. Every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is salvation in no one else. You can't get help anywhere else. There's salvation in no one else except Jesus. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. All the power of the names of the devil that the devil uses are no match for the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The enemy is a sly old fox. The song we used to sing said, Rochelle, if I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Yes, amen. The enemy is a sly old fox. He tricks you into receiving his names and labels. You had a bad experience and he attaches a label to it.
Yeah.
Somebody says something to you, he attaches a label to it.
Yeah.
Your past, he attaches a label to it.
Yeah.
Tricks you. But today, we're in church.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is here.
Yes.
We believe in Jesus.
Yes.
We know the one who owns that mighty name. And so today, as brothers and sisters, we just can cast on these labels of the devil off. We cast them off in the mighty name of Jesus. And we instead embrace the names that God has given to us. I am a new creation.
Amen.
I am a brand new man.
Yeah.
I am more than a conqueror. See, God's saying it before it becomes true. But it's got power. I am more than a conqueror. There's no more condemnation in my life. I'm saved. I'm born again. That's who I am. I am who I am because God says I am.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. So on our chest right now, I've got one of mine, is my name. It's my birth name. And it's important to me. And your name's important to you. But what is more important than my birth name is the name of the one who rules my heart. And as Christians, and we take that name proudly, we carry the mighty name of Jesus on the inside where our heart is. And you know when you go walking down the street, when you belong to Jesus, you know, and the devil's out there, you know, he sees that Jesus lives within your heart. And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I remember many years ago, I used to work with two witches. Male witches. One was a high priest. And I worked with them for a week, and it was a computer situation. It doesn't matter what that means. But we were in a small room. And I'm only a little small man, as you know. I'm not very tall. And I'm not intimidating to anybody. But I can remember walking to this room, and these guys couldn't stand me being in the room. They were cringing down the end of the room. Not because of me, and I wasn't being mean, I was trying to work and everything else like that. It's because of the spirit that was within me was greater than the spirit that was in those two men. And I just want to encourage you today, Jesus Christ has more power than any obstacle or name or label that the devil would throw upon you today. Come on, let's stand our feet, let's pray.